Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we want to hear from you right now because the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach out and reach into the studio and discuss your particular question or situation with us again at 844-322-2742 because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. This is Holy Week. I mean,
yes.
This is our biggest week of the year as far as believers are concerned. This is when we celebrate the event, the single most important event that has ever happened in human history, the thing that changes the entirety of human history. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the story. Yeah. That is the good news. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that this is the gospel that I received, that I have passed on to you. This is the gospel on which you have taken your stand. This is the gospel that saves. And he goes on to say that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised back to life in accordance with scriptures. Yeah. And then he appeared to all these different people at one time, 500. And then he ascended into heaven, and now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is our victory. This is our life. This is our story, those of us who have believed this good news concerning Jesus. So I want to take the time this week to talk about the story, to unfold this story for our listeners. And we're going to begin today in the upper room. And Jesus is with his disciples, and he is about to take the final Passover feast with them before he is betrayed and then handed over to the authorities to be crucified, buried, and then on the third day raised back to life. And so we're going to start in Luke 22, and this is verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, Passover is something that the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, had been celebrating for probably 1,400 years or so, since the time of Moses, since the judgment upon the nation of Egypt. God did that through those nine different judgments, the Passover being the last one. And God had said to the people, you put blood on the doorpost, and the death angel is going to pass over. And those Egyptians who did not put the blood on their door, their firstborn was killed. Mm-hmm. And what was God doing? He was saying to Pharaoh, you think you're so hot. See if you have the power to save your son. I have the power to raise mine back to life.
Yeah.
And that's what that was pointing toward, the fact that God has power over death. Well, Moses released the people, and from that time all the way until Jesus, they celebrated the Passover. Mm-hmm. But here Jesus is going to infuse new meaning into this Passover supper. And he says, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we have a celebration that commemorates the death of Jesus Christ. That's what we do every time we participate in this Lord's Supper. When we partake of the bread and the wine, we remember what Christ has done in giving his body for us. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So what is the new meaning that God is giving to, or that Jesus was giving to this Passover feast? That the new meaning is that it not initiates, it inaugurates, it ushers in a brand new covenant.
Yeah.
So they celebrated the Passover under the old covenant, a covenant in which offerings and sacrifices were made year in and year out. But this new Passover meaning was going to celebrate the once-for-all sacrifice and the fact that Jesus' blood ushered in a new covenant, a new covenant in which our sins have been forgiven. There's no longer any sacrifice for sin, and a new covenant in which God remembers our sins no more. So this is how he starts out this Easter celebration, by giving new meaning to what he is going to bring in through his death, burial, and resurrection. And folks, the minute Jesus Christ died on that cross, the minute he cried out, "It is finished," the minute he bowed his head and gave his spirit into the Father's hand, this new covenant went into effect. And that's the covenant that we live in today. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we rejoice. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood one time for all sin forever. And as a result of that, we are forgiven and God remembers our sins no more.
That's Basic Gospel good news. Thank you, Bob, for sharing those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. If you have 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can come in and be a part of it and speak directly with us right now and pose your question or your particular need. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in both the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob, you know, for Basic donors, Basic Gospel donors this month, we're expressing our thanks by sending them a copy of your message, "When God Is For You." What can they expect to get from this message?
Well, this is really a deep dive into Romans 8, four messages on Romans 8. So we're going to start with the fact that in Christ there is no condemnation. So if you're in Christ, that's good news. There's no condemnation for you. Well, what does that do? It releases you to experience the fullness of Christ's life who lives in you and who wants to live through you.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at what it means to be in the Spirit. We once were in the flesh, but no more. We've been released from that relationship. Now we're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us. And the Spirit of God assures us that we are believers, that we belong, that we are heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And then we're going to look at what God has in store for all of creation, how creation is waiting for the revealing of the children of God. That's you and me.
Yes.
So at a point in time, there everything is going to be made new as God promised in Christ Jesus. And then we're going to take a look at the finale of chapter 8, and that is those great words of Paul being convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that's what this passage is supposed to do for all of us, to bring us to that point where we're convinced that we have that conviction of heart that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. That's when we live this victorious Christian life. So that's what people can expect. This chapter is one of the most powerful chapters ever penned in human literature.
Yes, indeed.
Of all, this stands out as the peak, the pinnacle, the ultimate of what God desires for you and me. And this is a great resource for you to take a deep dive into Romans 8 and come out knowing who you are in Christ and living victoriously, knowing that you're more than a conqueror in him.
When God Is For You, that's the name of the message, and we'd like to send it to you as you make your contribution to support Basic Gospel as we reach out literally across North America and around the world with this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, his love, grace, and life. So we'd like for you to have a copy, and you can do that by going to basicgospel.net and just clicking that prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Once again, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, with this virus going on. We're having Bible study, which is good. We're getting on the phone and having Bible study. But the question came up about the blood on the doorpost and why we don't do it no more. Now, my answer was because we're in the New Testament and because we have Jesus. But I don't know if that's a good explanation of why we do not have to do that anymore.
Well, okay, that's
thank you.
Great question.
That is the best explanation that you could possibly have. The fact that we live in a new covenant, we're not in the old covenant. Now, when the people of Israel marked their doors with the blood, that was before the law was even given. And that was an indication that those who were in those particular houses with the blood on the door, mm-hmm. they were protected. They were protected by the blood. Well, what does that say for us? That you and I are protected as well by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that was a foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ was going to bring forth and put forth through his death on the cross. And so when we come to Christ, we experience forgiveness because Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all, which means we are going to be saved from the wrath to come. That's what Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 5. We have been reconciled to God through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? Mm-hmm. And because we're saved by his life, we are saved from the wrath to come. So the blood of Jesus is our ultimate protection. And that's what this Passover story was foreshadowing. So, no, we don't have to shed the blood of bulls and goats, of animals, and put it up on our doorpost. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood 2,000 years ago, and it was a sacrifice that was of such value that it was for the sins of the entire world. That means for your sins and my sins, and when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the forgiveness that he provided for us 2,000 years ago. So you are exactly right. We live in a new covenant, mm-hmm. a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. And it's a covenant in which we can experience a new life in Christ Jesus yeah. as a result of the resurrection.
Excellent answer, Bob, and thank you to this caller. And once again, I want to remind you that if you leave a voicemail with your question or your particular issue, please give us your first name and the area you're calling from, whether the city or the region. We would love to be able to address you so you'll know we're talking to you. Of course, we'll identify it through your question, but we still would like to be able to have at least a first name that we could address you with. So if you could do that, 844-322-2742, you can call right now or anytime and get through to us here at Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, from Oak Island, North Carolina, Peggy wrote to us. She said, I wish I could stay at home during this time when work is essential. We are all so concerned and praying so hard. I know God is in control. I asked Jesus into my heart on March 15, 1990, and I know I'm saved. I have not been perfect and have anxiety really bad, and have ever since I asked Jesus into my heart. Please pray for me to have faith that I need. Anxiety and fear is awful. Sometimes I get by myself and just cry out to God. When you see everything going on in the world right now, it is awful. It seems like I'm always asking to forgive. I have children that I have to be so strong for. I know God loves me, I really do, but I can't get rid of this fear. Is God mad at me for the way I am? Please pray for me and thank you for your program. It is a blessing to me. That's from Peggy in Oak Island, North Carolina.
Well, just the fact that she asked the question, is God mad at me, then that tells me that you're not really sure that God loves you, because you're not going to be asking that question if you're convinced, as Paul was, that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Yeah.
So, no, God is not mad at you. He has shown his delight in you, in Jesus. The fact that God demonstrated his love for you, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. So that's proof that God loves you. And now how much more, having received him, can you experience that love on a day-by-day basis? Now, let's get to the nature of anxiety. And that is kind of a common question today. A lot of people are feeling anxious. A lot of people are feeling worried. And there's something that we need to know about anxiety, and that is, and it's this, that anxiety is an emotion that's related to the future. So we hear all of this negative information. We hear all of this bad news. We hear all of this, these scary things that people are saying about this coronavirus, for example. And then we begin to project that out into the future. Will I have a job tomorrow? Will I be able to pay my mortgage? Will I be able to stay in this house? And we have all of these questions, and those questions start generating imagination. And we picture ourselves in the worst-case scenario. So anxiety is thinking that is always expecting the worst to happen to us in the future. And because that's the case, we feel that here and now. Our emotions always respond to what we think. Now, our emotions can't discern if what I'm thinking is something that is out there in the future, if it's present tense, or if it's something in the past. So we have the ability in our minds and in our imaginations to take ourselves back into the past and relive things that we experienced way back when, and that can be either good or bad. We have we have the ability in our minds to project out into the future and come up with all kinds of pictures of what life is going to be for us sometime in that future.
Right.
And those thoughts are going to generate feelings that we experience right now. That's the problem. So with anxiety, we're looking at the future.
Yes.
And we're doing the worst case scenario, sometimes based on things that we've experienced in the past. So we're just expecting the worst to come. That's what anxiety is all about. The other thing that's tied to anxiety is the fact that we don't have control over those future results.
Right.
We can't control the outcome. And if we dwell on that too long, that puts us into panic mode.
Yeah.
We really get panicked. So we have to come back to today and get our minds thinking on the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. So today, you have forgiveness of sins. Today, you're a child of God. Today, you are right in God's sight. Today, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. Now, all of this is going to be true for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day, but let's just focus on today. And then let's focus on the fact that God has met my needs and is meeting my needs right now. I've had meals today. I have a house to live in today. I have a car that I can drive today. I have a job today. Whatever it might be, God is meeting your needs according to his riches and glory right now, right today. So let's focus on what's true of God today, what's true of Jesus Christ today, what is true of me in Christ, and the promises that God has made on my behalf. And when we do and begin to respond to God with an attitude of thanksgiving, we'll start to see that anxiety diminish. So a thankful heart, a grateful heart, is the cure. Well, how do you get a thankful heart? Well, you focus on what is true right now and the blessings that you have right now in Christ Jesus. That's what God has for you.
Yeah.
And so if you will start doing that, you will see that anxiety starting to lessen day after day after day. And you can rejoice that today God loves you.
Yeah.
Tomorrow that's going to be true as well. But rejoice today that he's not mad, that he's madly in love with you.
Peggy, I hope that's good news to you. Sounds like it to me.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for reaching out. And friends, if you would like to leave a voicemail for us, if you can't get to us while we're at doing the live broadcast, just call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how you doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I was calling you something the other day. It was Isaiah 45:4, I believe. I had a question. In that passage, it looked like God was calling Jacob his servant, but it said he didn't acknowledge him. I'm trying to see how could he be a servant if he wasn't acknowledged, if he wasn't acknowledging God.
Well, it says, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. And certainly we see in Israel's history, and when we talk about Jacob, we're talking about Israel. So we have to see it really from two different viewpoints. One, there's Jacob representing the people of Israel, and then there's also kind of the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ being the true Israel of God, being the one through whom all blessings would flow out to the world. But as far as Israel was concerned, why God sent the prophets was to turn their hearts back to the one true God. Why did he want to do that? Because they had turned away, and they were worshiping foreign gods. And they were a very idolatrous group of people, stiff-necked, as God called them time and time again. Mm-hmm. So when he says, you did not know me, that's what he's saying. You're not worshiping me. You're out worshiping foreign gods. And so that was part of his prophecy, that one day there's going to be a Jesus that comes, and he's going to bear the sins of yours upon himself, and through that he is going to help make you righteous and to usher you truly into the kingdom of God, and so that you can experience peace forever and reign with him. So that's what this is all about. Okay. Anthony, does that make sense?
All right. Yeah, I'm just looking at it from, I was just kind of just focusing just on Jacob for some reason.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking at it like, you know, the whole Israel. Well, okay, thank you. That helps me.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call, Anthony.
Yes, indeed. Quickly from Brock, he says, was Peter fated to deny Jesus three times? The key word there, was he fated? Will we be tested like Peter?
Well, Jesus told Peter before the cock crowed that following morning that he was going to deny the Lord three times. Now, Peter had said to Jesus, you know, I'm not going to let you die. I'm going to do everything in my power. And when he said that, Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. And so Peter was still under that mindset and attitude, and Jesus said, I'm going to reveal something about you.
Right.
Before the morning comes, you're going to deny me three times. And that's exactly what Peter did when he heard the rooster crow. He wept bitterly, but Jesus in his love and grace and mercy restored Peter, and he equipped him to go and feed his sheep.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Peter did following mm-hmm. Pentecost. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yes, it is. One of those basic gospel stories.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you. And again, that number, 844-322-2742. You know, being anchored to the love of Jesus Christ will help us all navigate these currently choppy waters and be assured that we are secure in Him. That's why Bob Christopher's message, When God Is For You, can be such an encouragement in this time of worldwide upheaval. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and help us reach out to people here in North America and literally around the world with the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. When God Is For You, request your copy when you make your April gift to Basic Gospel. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. The website is always there, and you can always make your donation through there. Just click that big prominent donate link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.